Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 1st, 2020 in my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features insight on how political leaders envision reopening the state, a look at the tourism industry with State Director Dwayne Parrish, what the college football season may look like this fall, MUSC President Dr. David Cole's vision for moving forward, and in our wind-down section, I navigate the underground world of unlicensed barbering to get a haircut. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is plateauing, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 256 deaths, and currently there are 6,258 cases being reported, and 300 people are hospitalized across the state as of May 1st at 4 p.m. And updated DHEC data shows that the deadliest COVID-19 week was last week with 58 people dying. There have been 39 deaths this week as of Friday. And here's the latest from state epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell talking about the timeline for reopening.
And I know that many are waiting for a time that we can fully loosen all restrictions, and so am I. And there's really no set time that I can give or a date that is a magic number at which time we can give that full loosening of restrictions. Public health data and other factors will help drive these decisions that are very difficult. And in public health, we will continue to monitor to help follow a measured approach towards relaxing these restrictions.
So like it's been said, we're plateauing. But this week, due to delayed reporting from one lab, our average of around 1,000 weekly cases moved a bit faster, with us going from 5,000 to 6,000 cases in 6 days rather than seven. In fact, DHEC projections currently indicate that South Carolina may see almost 1,200 new cases per week by mid-May. This week, DHEC provided the results of a cross-analysis of deaths reported to the agency by medical professionals and deaths reported to the agency on death certificates. Through this data comparison, DHEC has identified 29 additional deaths associated with COVID-19 that had not been previously reported. The deaths of these individuals occurred over the time span of March 25th through April 21st. As such, this does not significantly affect the state's public health actions, projections, or the recommendations of DHEC. To show how things have shifted politically, we've gone from press briefings at the Emergency Operations Center to the USC Alumni Center, where the Accelerate SC Task Force meets. So far, there has been one big meeting, several subcommittees, and next Thursday there will be another big meeting, according to Governor Henry McMaster. Late Friday afternoon, McMaster announced that he was lifting his home or work ban and outdoor dining for restaurants effective Monday. He also lifted the short-term rental ban against those from CDC hotspots, and folks from those places will no longer have to self-quarantine. Here's the governor talking about restaurants reopening their outside dining.
What they will do is follow the guidelines that have been issued by the South Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association. They have a lot of guidelines on the number of seats, the distances between the seats, where the menus go, all those sorts of things to provide, and signs alerting the customers as to the precautions that are being taken and the efforts at cleanliness and hygiene that are being implemented in those restaurants or in those facilities surrounding the restaurants. And we are confident that our people will be able to implement those guidelines and have good service outside of those restaurants.
Senators Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott joined McMaster during the Wednesday press briefing. Graham said that new data on therapeutics is encouraging and that one day when there is a vaccine, this will be like the flu. But until then, people must remain cautious.
I know it's been difficult for the state. There's a lot of people out there ready to get back to work, including me. But let's don't lose sight of this has been devastating to families in South Carolina who lost a loved one. No matter how inconvenient it is at home, if you got your health, and your family's in pretty good shape, be thankful. And the goal is to grow the economy without growing the virus. And I think the medical capability we have in the state will allow us to go back to work without having the hospitals overflowing. And that's the goal. Once we get out and about, there's going to be a reemergence of the virus, but it can be very well controlled.
And just to update you on some Supreme Court decisions, the court issued an order that will allow evictions and foreclosures to resume on May 15th. Unemployment insurance benefit claim numbers released Thursday marked the second week of declines, with 65,159 South Carolinians filing their initial claim for unemployment insurance between April 19th and April 25th. Total initial claims in the past 6 weeks now stand at 406,889. Dwayne Parrish is the director of State Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, and he joined me on This Week in South Carolina. Parrish oversees the agency responsible for making the state one of the top tourist destinations in the country. And after 7 years of solid growth, his expectations for the $24 billion industry are bleak.
I mean, tourism overall down about anywhere from 80 to 85%. Wow. Hotel occupancy is down to 20 to 25% at a time of year when it normally be 80 to 85%. So you see what we've hopefully at the bottom, and we'll do nothing but go up from here.
And what indicators are you looking at? You're talking about hotel occupancy. You're talking about we've seen events canceled. Are you getting early revenue estimates too as well, I would assume, maybe?
That's correct. Yeah, revenue estimates are down anywhere from 80 to 85% in terms of overall tourism spending. That includes categories like hotels, restaurants, shopping, attractions, golf, all those things where visitors spend money. And they pay accommodation tax, sales tax, hospitality tax, fuel tax. All those things are all down. Tourism contributes $1.8 billion in state and local taxes for South Carolina, so you can do the math and see how much that's going to be down as well.
And I guess another thing, too, when we look at places like Myrtle Beach, a lot of things that make that place Myrtle Beach are the attractions or the amusements, which are still shut down because of the governor's executive order. So it's really a matter when those get reopened up again. So it sounds like everything's going to be kind of in phases. It sounds like you're talking about dining restaurants. And you did talk about, getting the consumer confidence back. What are some of the ways that we're going to see that happen to make sure that people, when they do come back, that it's not, a herky-jerky return and a spike or something like that, but to make sure it's, it's consistent.
Yeah, I'll speak specifically to restaurants. You'll see paper menus or chalkboard menus, or your people pull up the menu on their phone. You'll see tables spaced further apart. You'll see tables limited to 6 people. You'll see employees wearing masks. You'll know that employees, their temperature has been taken that day when they came to work. A lot of those things along the way, you'll see signage that you haven't seen before in restaurants. It'll be like that in our state parks when we open up as well. All those things are sort of in place to, A, make sure people do the things they're supposed to do in regard to social distancing, but also give them that confidence that we've looked at this and we've had DHEC along the way with us to give us those plans that will not only work, but give people that confidence to come back into retail, come back into hotels, and travel again. Our estimates at this point will be down anywhere from 45 to 50% for the year. Obviously, January and February were up. March, April, May dramatically down. And then sort of a leveling off a little bit as we go through the year, but somewhere in the 45 to 50% range is what will be down for the year.
This Week in South Carolina airs Friday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on SCETV. And you can always catch episodes on our YouTube at youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV. And changing gears and shifting gears, sports tourism is also a big part of South Carolina's overall tourism industry. And NASCAR announced this week that May 17th will mark its return to racing at Darlington Raceway with a NASCAR Cup Series race, but sadly with no fans. The Lady in Black will again host 2 more races on May 19th and May 20th. 4 additional races this month will be held in Charlotte. So boogity boogity boogity, but what about college football? Well, South Carolina Public Radio's Vince Colbelugo spoke with Dr. Nicholas Masafumi Watanabe, associate professor at the University of South Carolina College of Hospitality, Retail, and Sport, about the findings of a recent poll that shows there will be a college football season. What it will look like is a different story.
A recent poll by Stadium Sports Network asked Football Bowl Subdivision athletic directors if they think there will be a football season this year, and 99% said yes. network asked 130 ADs, 114 responded. Joining me on the line to talk about the findings in fall sports is Dr. Nicholas Watanabe, associate professor at the USC College of Retail Sport and Management. Dr. Watanabe, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So first, who decides if there will be a football season?
That's actually a very good question. We would think that the decision would probably lie with university, but probably at a higher level with local governments, depending especially if they're state universities, how they fall into the structure and hierarchy of decision making. At the same time, I think that athletic directors and the NCAA are also going to have a role in making the decision over whether there's going to be a college football season. Obviously, athletic directors, NCAA, and even universities will want the season to go on because this is the prime source of revenue for college athletic departments.
Yeah, that leads into the next question. Who are the constituents in the decision to have a football season?
Well, I think the first we have to think about is the athletes themselves, right? They are the producers of the sport, right? They're the ones who actually have to go out and play. They'll have to be training together, be close together, travel, et cetera, all of which, you know, could present dangers to them in terms of their health. So there's one constituency. Another one's obviously the coaching staff and the athletic department who clearly want the season to go on. I'm not saying the student athletes, the college athletes don't want the season to happen, but there's certainly, this sort of push and pull about, you know, what level will they need to protect athlete health? And then also to think about the revenue picture. So it's always going to be a balancing act for the college athletic departments. When we go higher up into the university itself, you know, a lot of universities use this term that the athletic department or football team is the front porch to the university. It's what sort of draws people in and then gets them more ingrained with the university. And so, of course, they want this to happen because this is a big promotional tool for them. And so, again, that's another balancing act. It's like, we want this to happen, obviously, but at the same time, is it actually worthwhile?
Okay. Looking beyond this, we know we'll get past this coronavirus pandemic. How long that will take is anyone's guess. But what do you think demand will look like for college sports once this ends?
I will say televised demand from what we're seeing, the WNBA draft, the NFL draft are having great numbers. So people are ready to watch on television. As for actually going back, well, it depends on what evidence we look at. If we look at the poll that was done, I believe out of Seton Hall a couple weeks ago, I think something like 72% of fans say they would actually wait many weeks before they feel safe to start going back. If we look at, I was just doing some numbers in terms of meta-analysis of previous work stoppages in sport, and it sort of ranges between an effect of about 10% to 50% decline in demand for the season following a stoppage.
Not quite sure if you want to go to the beach yet or go get a hotel room somewhere. Well, you can go out and about in the state because now all 47 state parks are reopened. Just follow the rules and don't mess this up, everyone. And what do South Carolinians miss the most amid this pandemic? They miss going out to eat and socializing with friends. That's what topped the Chernoff-Newman Coronavirus Consumer Insights Survey. And going to a place of worship, children being in school, and kids' sports and activities rounded out the top five. We got a link to that survey in our show notes. And again, give us a call. Tell us what you miss at 803-563-7169. Dr. David Cole, president of the Medical University of South Carolina, provided a health update in a video conference on the South Carolina Department of Commerce's Facebook page on Thursday. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I think as a state, we're in a reasonably good place. I use the term where we made it to first base. I think the infection rates and the numbers have improved. And I always point out that's not just by magic. That's occurred because of the hard efforts and all of the difficult sort of decisions and current hardships that people are going through. So it's given us this moment, I will say, of grace to be able to make the next decisions to deploy and move forward. What's really important is that we have to do so intelligently and thoughtfully and in a manner that minimizes a chance of hotspots overwhelming who we are and where we go next. You know, those are the critical parameters. I always say our simplest goal as we get the economy revitalized is to keep the car in the middle of the road. And specifically, that means certainly from a community health perspective, that our healthcare facilities and resources have capacity to take care of COVID patients, and that we monitor and act on any hotspots that come up so that we can continue to move forward.
When asked if he thought the worst was over, he said there will be more infections, but getting to second base will be a challenge.
So I think in this interim, and I'll call this second base, as we're trying to get to second base, we avoided being overwhelmed. As we try to get to second base, we have to revitalize the economy as quickly as possible, as safely as possible. There are risks. In fact, I would be willing to state that as we start to move forward, there will be more infections. We have to acknowledge that. But we have to manage it, and like I said, to keep it in the middle of the road. So in this interim, as we're starting to get back to a new normal, I think we need to be smart. I think, you know, South Carolina is a community of committed individuals. Right now, as the business and communities have an opportunity to step into the new normal, people need to take individual responsibility. I also say, like politics, infections are local. You know, the decisions we make have an impact. And if we don't make the right decisions as businesses and communities, we're going to be paying this price and stumble through the next phase.
And as Dr. Cole mentioned, personal responsibility is key right now because we are still not out of the woods yet, folks. Keep washing your hands, maintain your distance, and put a mask on. Okay, so I'm going to start our wind down section like a Vice News report. This week, I got a haircut.
Should we just get a bowl out and just go straight across?
The bowl? Straight across what? No, you've got great hair.
Well, you're half responsible for that. You're not going to shave my mustache, are you?
Nope, not touching your face. That's your call.
That's right. After nearly 2 months, I threw in the towel and sought an unlicensed cut. It wasn't easy. I had to compromise on my social distancing and venture hours down to James Island, where I met a recluse barber named Jay Jackson.
I'm not gonna lie, you smell like cigars and beer, sir. Are you qualified to cut my hair right now?
Yes, this is where I find my qualifications.
This is where you thrive?
I'm in my zone.
Yes, that's my father cutting my hair. Something he hasn't done since I was 12, I think. The flashbacks were strong, but wine helped. I debated visiting him and my stepmother for a few days, but we've all been taking appropriate precautions, and I hadn't been down to visit the area since this all began. Jay, himself, has been cutting his own hair for 22 years. Here's his advice.
When I tell people I cut my hair, they don't believe it.
Oh, you perfected it.
Well, you know what it is.
It's a quality craftsmanship.
You take your time. You don't rush. You know, you just do your thing.
So we're just doing the back right now?
Yes. That's my starting point. Always.
What's your advice for people that want to cut their own hair?
Be adept at using both right and left hands, which is not easy to do. And be able to use a mirror in order to understand what you're trying to do with your own hair.
Anyway, enough about my hair. Okay. Ugh. Who do you guys watch Vice News? I don't know if I can handle that. It worked out. Jay did a great job as always. I mean, he cuts his own hair. I must have been easy for him. And it was so easy. It looked so good. We taped this week in South Carolina on Thursday without me having to put a bag over my head. So it worked out, but I still miss going to see my people at Circa Barbershop, like Martha in Charleston. We'll be back soon. I already got my gift certificate. So, and did you like that fresh bumper music get into the wind down section? Or this? Or this? Ooh, I don't want to overwhelm you, but you can now add DJ to my resume, and you can too. I heard this great piece on NPR the other day, and it led me to the Citizen DJ Project on the Library of Congress's website. It was created by Brian Fu, the library's innovator in residence, and it allows anyone to use the sounds, spoken word, and music audio files that they have to make their own remixes. It is addictive, my friends. And something great for you to do, something creative for you to do, and fun to work with your kids. Let them do it. I mean, possibilities are endless. If you get some good beats, I want to hear them. We might include them, right, AT? We might include them in the show.
Can confirm, we'll include.
If you send it to us at sclead@scetv.org. You can even play them in the background when you call us at 803-563-7169. And AT, some good news for you and me, since we're such big Costco heads. I mean, love Costco. They are now requiring people to wear masks in the store. If you weren't doing that already.
That's what I would say. Yeah. I have a good Costco news, too. I went there the other day, and I found name brand toilet paper.
Whoa.
So whoa. I'm not saying the pandemic's over, but the hysteria might be coming down, bud.
Wow. Did you immediately take it to the street and just start scalping rolls?
Yeah, I said, rolls here. Who wants your rolls?
walking around.
Yeah, hucking. Don't tell people where I live. I'm going to have to bleep that. I'm going to have to bleep it.
Yeah, and then I read that you're also going to have to wear masks on certain airlines, too. I'm sure that's going to be the new normal. People got to do it. Got to get on a plane. All that recycled air. Now, again, this is our wind down section, so we want to hear from you and tell us what's going on in your world. You know, are you a medical professional? Are you unemployed? Are you looking for a job? Are you getting recalled for work? Let us know. We want to hear from you at 803-563-7169. So I think we have a voicemail from someone, a young listener, I think.
Probably the smallest caller we've had so far. I haven't seen her, but I'm just judging that on how she sounds. I'm guessing very tiny.
Let's hit it.
Hi, my name is Ada Stolges, and I like coronavirus because I get more time with my family and I've become a better person. I have been trying to change the world. I've been becoming a better big sister, a better team member. And I really like this time to be with my family because it has been a good opportunity for me to change who I am and for me to become a new person. And I am now a kind, sweet, and I was that before, but now I like to, now I help people no matter what. So I really like that. The world is the same, but the world is still the same, but it's a little different because things are closed. School has been interesting with my mom because she's a teacher. And she's teaching me. My dad hasn't been teaching me, and I want him to.
What about riding your bike?
He's teaching me riding my bike, but still, I want him to teach me school. So, me and my mom were baking today, and it was really fun. I've become a better person and a better chef, and I'm glad.
So, I believe that was Ada Sturgis, daughter of one Grand Strand Man Roman Sturgis. Well, we appreciate the call, Ada. We appreciate you guys listening out there. And it's a very interesting perspective to hear from a six-year-old because, I mean, it's difficult. Do we know if they're six? We don't know how old she is. I think she's anywhere
she's
from
small.
6 to 10. She's small. But we're all
what
coping.
Are you doing to cope this weekend,
we're all
Gavin?
Coping.
Huh? What are you doing to cope this week?
Well, since I was down with my parents for a week, that was nice. That was a nice change. I don't know what I'm doing this weekend.
Pathetic. I'm watching Total Recall. Come on, man. I mean, there is no air on Mars. Did you know that?
Anyway, let me know what you're watching because I need something good. 803-563-7169. And thanks again for tuning into the pod. You can keep up with the latest on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. They need your help too. And once you get your fill of the news, take a break, go for a walk, send us a voicemail. You can also follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest news. And I'll also let you know if the governor's holding a press briefing that day, which we always carry on SCETV and Southcom Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this crisis as it continues to develop. We're in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Oh, hi, Chippy.
Oh, guten Tag, mein Chippy.